You want to follow along, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I won't read a verse right yet. But let me say that there are times when when either I or Joe or Earl, anyone that stands here and attempts to speak the truth of God, there are times when we say things and it causes other people to respond in an odd way. And let me try to give you an example of that. I mentioned here a few Sundays ago, and nobody said anything to me about it. I mean, that's not why I say this, but I mentioned a few Sundays ago that about Carowinds, places like that, that's all of the flesh, right? And it is.
Sure.
I mean, and automatically, here's what I'm saying, automatically somebody out there hears that statement, you know what they say? Well, he must think it's a sin to go to Carowinds. You know what I mean? They don't understand. They don't get it. No, I don't think it's a sin to go to Carowinds if you have faith in Christ and you believe him.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have faith in Christ, it's a sin for you to go to church. Let alone Carowinds.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, without faith, you know, anything that's outside of faith, Scripture says it's what? It's sin.
Yeah.
But here's why I say, and sometimes I make statements like that. People who know the truth make statements like that in hopes that someone will think.
Yeah.
But sadly, a lot of people don't think, they react.
Yeah.
They get mad. Well, who does he think he? I know he's been there himself. I know one time I tried to go and we didn't make it, did we, David? God didn't let us go that day, did he? Huh? People get weird ideas. And I said that to say this. There are some times when myself, Earl, Joe, anybody, you, we begin to speak of reconciliation, justification, peace with God, all of these things, and we teach that salvation is through the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It is not that is reconciliation, justification, peace with God. These things are not brought about by faith or by repentance. And sadly, now some folks, in hearing that, some folks then begin to think, all right, what does the Word of God say? Others react. Well, he must be against faith. He must not care about faith. Now, those kinds of things happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like when a person begins to talk about the free reigning grace of God in Christ. And you begin to talk about how salvation is by Christ. And then you begin to talk and go on further how that even in our conduct as we gather together, there are traditions, and that's the word used in the King James Version. There are traditions that we're to follow, right? Paul told the Thessalonians to remember the traditions. Stand in them. Stand fast in these things. So then, because the early New Testament church never had Sunday schools, there is no historical evidence of it, and there is no biblical evidence of it. Therefore, we've refused to have it. And then someone says, well, you don't care about kids. And let me tell you, that angers me.
Yeah.
That makes me want to give them the four-fingered sandwich, to be honest with you. Because it's nothing more than building a straw man and beating the living daylights out of them, out of that straw man, to make themselves look caring. Person or a group that holds to, believes, and supports the preaching of the truth of the free and reigning grace of God in Christ cares more about men and women than any Arminian soul winner ever did.
Yes, sir.
Because truth is more important to man's soul than anything else.
Right.
Sadly, most men or women, boys or girls, don't want it. Now, this next set of messages is going to be a series of messages on the first principles of the fundamental truth concerning the source, the nature, the object, and the necessity of faith.
Yes.
Okay? Now, this message can be found on the internet. It's there. But what I'm going to give in these next series of messages is going to be a whole lot more than just is on them few pages that we have on our chapel website. And I want to try to look at these things in some detail. That is the source of faith, the nature of faith, the object of faith, and the necessity of faith, as it is described in Scripture.
Yes.
Then, as God willing, and probably as we go through some of this, we will, as we go through it, and then kind of to summarize everything as a conclusion, we will look at examples of faith.
Yeah.
All of these things are given to us, especially in the book of the Hebrews, especially chapter 10 and chapter 11 and chapter 12. Now here's the text. Joe's already read it this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Now, let me pause for just a moment and say this. Yes, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That's telling me.
Yeah.
Without me having faith, it's impossible for me to please God. But at the same time, I'm here to declare that Jesus Christ has already pleased God the Father.
Amen.
And I'm here to say that Jesus Christ has already pleased God the Father on my behalf.
Yes, sir.
David, he's done that for you too, if you're in Christ. Everyone else here, if you're in Christ. Now, because he's already done that in himself,
yeah,
does that then mean we reject faith? We have no need of faith. Of course not, because God said, without faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It says must. Now it doesn't say must believe that he exists. It says believe that he is. What is inferred here, even in the Greek, is that they must believe he is who he says he is. That's what it's talking about. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Looks like that old accusation. You try to preach the free-reigning grace of God or give some testimony to it somewhere or discuss it with someone, and they say, well, you don't believe in whosoever will. And it truly manifests their spiritual ignorance.
Yeah.
They have been so brainwashed that they think that unless you believe in free will, you can't believe in whosoever will.
Yeah.
And free will and whosoever will are at totally opposite ends of the pole.
Yes, sir.
Free will says man's in charge. Whosoever will says God's in charge. Sadly, most people don't see that, do they?
Yeah.
Now, remember I said I want to try to talk about the first principles. That is, it's going to be the elementary or the foundational teaching of what is faith. That's the question. That's the message. What I'm hoping to try to answer. What is faith? We're going to talk about the ABCs of what is faith. We talk about fundamental truth, it means primary or the essential truth.
Yes.
To not understand the gift you have, kind of a barren place to be in, isn't it? Not understand faith. Now, when I talk about understanding faith, I'm not talking about understanding faith as it relates to me and how I respond. I'm talking about understanding what God's gift is.
Yes.
Again, I say it's source, the source of faith, the nature of faith, the object of faith, and the necessity of faith.
Yes.
Now, the reason for this verse being chosen as my text is because within this verse and within the surrounding context, here, we find the answers to the source of faith, the nature of faith, the object of faith, and the necessity of faith, and we're given multiple examples of faith.
Yes, sir.
Are we not? Right here in this short section here, last part of chapter 10, all of chapter 11, the first part of chapter 12. While these four areas, that is that the source of faith, the nature of faith, the object of faith, and necessity of faith, while these are not, certainly they're not all that defines what faith is, they are a solid foundation for the believer's understanding of this great blessing of God. You know, it's like a lot of things. Familiarity sometimes causes you to be forgetful, to pass over something, not think about it in its true light. And this probably could be said better, but I'm going to say it this way for just the lack of knowing how to say it any better. But having had faith so long, after a while it begins to just be another part of what you are and what you say and what you do. This is to believe God, that is to have faith from which believing God flows. This is a great blessing of God.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, to be among the believers that are in this world is said to be one of the mysteries of godliness.
Sure.
Right? What is it, 1 Timothy? Paul writing to Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh."
Yes.
Now define all of that. That's hard to define, isn't it?
Yeah.
That God Almighty was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit.
Yes.
Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. There was a time when that was an amazing fact. You know? It's been a fact for so long now, people don't even think about that anymore. You know? Preached unto the Gentiles, but look what it says, believed on in the world.
Amen.
You know, this is a part of the mystery of godliness, that there's a small handful of people sitting here this morning that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did you know you've never seen Him?
Yeah.
And these things, and I'm going to put it this way, just for the effect of, these things supposedly happened some 2,000 years ago. And yet you believe it.
Yes, sir.
Kind of odd, isn't it, Mason? Huh? Believe it in such a way that it affects your whole life.
Yes, sir.
How you think, how you conduct yourself, everything.
Yeah.
Part of the mystery of God, and it's believed on in the world. Let us never forget that it took resurrection power to bring us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is not something that simply welled up within us. It was not a divine spark that needed to be fanned.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, speaking of his prayer to God for the Ephesians, says in verse 17, well, verse 16, I says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Someone says, but why can't men just believe? Because it's beyond them to believe.
Yes, sir.
It takes the working of God's mighty power for anyone to believe.
That's it.
It's easy for us to forget that, having believed for so long. And I'm not saying there are not times of trouble and doubt and fears. But believing can come easy. Believing comes easy after a while too.
Yeah.
Experience teaches you. And that's what Romans 5 says. Experience teaches you to have hope in God, because God's proved Himself to you over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
You know He will do what He said He'll do.
Yes, sir.
And you look at someone else and you think, man, you just can't get it. Now that's it. They can't. It's beyond them. It takes the working of God's mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Amen.
That sounds like to me this is quite a blessing from God.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, it being such a great blessing, it is spoken of as both a gift and a blessing in Philippians 1 verse 29, as not only is it given to you to believe on Christ, Paul said, but it's also given to you to suffer for his name's sake.
Yes, sir.
So there, Paul equates suffering and believing as equal blessings. The thing about it is we're such dull creatures that when we suffer for the name of Christ's sake, what we take it personally. You know, this can happen. I'm not saying it always happens, but this can happen. We take it personally. And remember, we are suffering for his sake.
Yes.
And it's given to us for that to happen.
Yes, sir.
But it's also given to us, not only to believe, but just in looking at believing, it is given to us to believe on his name. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, we read the account of Paul coming back to Antioch after preaching to the Gentiles. They gathered the whole church, they gathered the church of Antioch together and rehearsed the things that God had done among the Gentiles, and they said that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. That lets me know at one time God had it shut. Doesn't it? Right? You don't open something, it's not shut. That God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now I know the way some would react. Well, in other words, God just flung her wide open and says, all right, whoever will, come on in. You know?
Not exactly.
He does say, whosoever will.
Yes, sir.
Let him take the water of life. Let him drink. Let him freely drink.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. God's also got to bring you in. That to bring you through that door. Now this thing of believing, having faith, this it's beyond explanation. How can it be? Now there are others. Could it really be? Is it fathomable that this small group right here, located somewhere around the middle of West Virginia in a place called Crow, actually be a part of that group that God's given faith to? I say yes. And let me tell you, this is a rare thing nowadays.
Yes, sir.
There were times in the early New Testament church, or I should just say the early church. There is no other but the New Testament church. Well, there were times in the early church, at least when in certain areas, when the gospel was preached, hundreds, if not thousands, responded, right? That don't happen today. And I ain't talking about Billy Graham either, because Billy Graham ain't preaching the gospel. Well, I don't even think Billy Graham's even preaching anymore, is he? Be that as it may. No, that don't happen today. And the reason it doesn't happen today is because God didn't purpose for it to happen today.
Amen.
And we just bow down to that. We bow down to God's sovereign purpose, even if it hits home for us.
Yeah.
And if God's pleased to give one of our family members faith, bless God, he's going to do it. They'll have it. And if he ain't, they won't. And if we force them into some decision or some imitation of faith, all we've done is for a time it appeased our conscience and we've given them a false hope. It's easy, you know, someone said, well, I want to be baptized. What do most people do? Well, all right, splash. Right?
Exactly.
Right, so, you know, get it done.
Yes, sir.
Do it to it. No, I ask questions nowadays. I remember one time when I baptized probably about, 25, 30 folk. I was tired when that was over. Well, there ain't a one of them wants to hear me preach now. They were people moving to the forward of that church, getting baptized, or getting saved, getting rededicated. The piano player, she just quit playing, come up crying. I've been lost all these years, and I thought I was saved. I want to believe on Christ. So what did I do? I baptized every blessed one of them. So many of them, Joe had to help me drag them in and out of the pool. You know, I was waterlogged when I crawled out. I didn't have my waders that day. And after all of that movement, and here are others who weren't baptized. They must have been, how many people? 75 that came forward in total. And they came forward because they had heard the truth. And you know what? That place, those people, never asked me to come back again. And I always thought, ain't this what you call a revival?
Yeah.
Huh? I'll tell you why. Because some of the older folks in that building knew what I was really saying. And they didn't want it back in that building.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It's an amazing thing to find true faith.
Yes, sir.
True faith. Now, the thing about faith is there's a faith out there, but it's a faith that has nothing to do with salvation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been said over and over again, but we are creatures that need to be reminded. Thus, I'll say it again, that even James says the devils believe and tremble.
That's right.
Right? But that believing has no saving effect for them, nor is that believing based upon any salvation for them.
That's right.
They believe and tremble, and they're going to perish in the same lake of fire as all unbelieving reprobates will. Right?
Yes, sir.
They're going to perish, but they believe. Therefore, there is a believing that's of no value. I want to have some assurance that I'm not one of that kind.
Yes.
Don't you? Again, there are some that believe for a while. In time of temptation, they do what? They fall away.
Yes, sir.
I want to have some assurance that I'm not one of those. Here's the beginning point. The whole beginning point is, what is the source of the faith you have? The source. There are many people who have went forward. They've made decisions. They've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have exercised faith. They've believed facts. They may even have believed truth. But if the source of that believing is not God Himself, they are lost. And it's that simple. According to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the source of faith is said to be none other than Jesus Himself. Right? Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 12, after this chapter, all these examples of faith. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now there's the object, but we're not going to deal with that in detail right now. You see, if the source of your faith is Jesus, then it will what? It will look to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
If the source of your faith is flesh, it will look to flesh.
That's it.
If the source of your faith is religion, just doing religious things, being a religious person, it will look to that religion.
Yes, sir.
The source of anything always goes back to where it was, where it begins. It says, looking unto Jesus. And then what's that next phrase say?
Yes,
the author and finisher, not just of our faith. That's okay. It doesn't destroy any meaning there. But He is not just the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author and finisher of faith.
Amen.
Jesus is the beginner. That's what it means, the author. He begins it, and he finishes it.
Amen.
Faith does not come from free will. Now, if a man, even if a man thinks his faith came from free will, if it came from God, he's got real faith.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he or she may be taught wrong, David. They may think it came from free will, but if it came from God, that's real faith.
Yes, sir.
On the other hand, the person may say, all right, they may say, well, my faith came from God.
Yeah.
You know, God, Christ is the source of my faith, when indeed maybe it wasn't.
Exactly.
Right? Maybe they responded because they just didn't want to be left alone. They didn't want to be the outsider in the group. Now, the source of faith is said to be none other than Jesus. He is the beginner. And not only is the beginner, he's the finisher of faith.
Yes, sir.
This Jesus is he who is the Christ of God. This is he who is God manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
It's said that his name was to be called Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Joseph was told to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
But it is summed up as this way. His name was to be called also Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us.
Amen.
The source of faith is God.
Yes, sir.
It's not the flesh. It's not human will, let alone free will. The source of faith is God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
It goes on to say that he came into the world, and he came unto his own. But his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe on his name.
Amen.
But how did they believe on his name?
Yeah.
It wasn't by blood. It wasn't by the will of man.
That's
it
right.
Wasn't by the will of the flesh. It was by what? By being born of God.
Amen.
And what? Now this is a fundamental truth. This is not some theological thing for the theological schools. People say you need to believe to get to be, or no, you need to believe to be born again. They preach this all the time. That's twisting it right around.
Yes, sir.
It's a lie. You must be born again to believe.
Amen.
That's what the book says, doesn't it? Even to them that believe on his name, which were born.
Amen.
Were. Not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
You see, God is the source of faith.
Yes.
Now thus Christ, that is God manifest in the flesh, he being the source of faith's beginning, he's the only one who can sustain it in all that it is, and finish it up. Remember our Lord praying for Peter about the time when Satan had desired to have him, that he might sift him as wheat?
Oh, yeah.
And he did. And Peter failed, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Peter sinned against God. But what did Christ tell him? I've prayed for you, Peter. And what did he pray? I prayed that your faith fail not. And it didn't. David, in spite of his sin, he still knew who Christ was.
Yes, sir.
When he denied him with his tongue, he knew who he was in his heart.
Yes, sir.
And that wouldn't fail.
Exactly.
Somebody says, you give me excuse to sin. Well, all right, go ahead then. You want to anyway. You know, people always want to have some excuse. Give people an excuse to sin. They're going to sin anyway.
That's right.
If I stood up here and preached law day in and day out, they're still going to sin. You know, away with this nonsensical talk that people come up with. No, here's the truth. Christ told Peter, not, I'm putting my words to it, but he told him, Peter, you're going to sin. And there ain't a blessed thing you can do about it.
Yeah.
But I prayed for you that which I've given you, that which I have created in you, it won't fail.
Amen.
That's your faith. Huh? Now, bless God, I want to be one of them kind.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Go on. Just make whatever excuse. Accuse me of whatever. You know, I want to be that kind of man of faith. Don't you? There's some people out here who's going to sin and Christ ain't praying for them.
Exactly.
He ain't give them no faith. Right?
That's it.
They ain't got nothing to fail except themselves. Oh, what an amazing, isn't faith an amazing gift? Because it took God to start it, it's going to take God to sustain it, and it takes God to finish it. And if He starts it, He's going to sustain it and He's going to finish it. Because Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. My faith will not give up and give out if it's real.
That's right.
And if it ain't, it will. And even if it don't, it ain't going to do me no good.
Exactly.
Huh? And you know, if I perish with a false faith, it'll be justice.
Yes, sir.
But there's not a person in this world, not one, that has faith and God is its source, not a one of them will ever perish.
Amen.
Not a one. No matter how bad they fail, that faith will not fail.
Exactly.
Well, we could give all kinds of examples of the negative aspect of man and man's failure when their faith didn't fail. I mean, look at Lot. What an example. Ain't that amazing? Well, let's look at it for just a moment. Now, I know Lot's not mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. But he is mentioned by Peter. And he's called what? A righteous man.
Yes, sir.
Right? A justified man. Well, there's a few things about Lot that you feel uncomfortable even speaking about, especially publicly. You know? Things he did. Oh, but God had given him faith.
Yes, sir.
And in that faith, which is Christ's faith, right? Christ was the source of it. He stood as righteous in God's sight.
Yes, sir.
Here's a man that chose rather to... that chose to live with the homosexuals. Right? Because of the lushness of the land that he's in. And he chose to live with them. And he suffered because of it. Scripture says that his righteous soul was vexed daily by their deeds. He had to almost fight with them. When two angels came to him, he had or attempted to offer them his daughters, to keep them from trying to overcome the angels who appeared as what? Men.
Yep.
And these men were after these angels to lay with them. This is Lot. He's told to get up and get out.
Yep.
And he does so. He does so with his wife and his two daughters. And his wife turns her back on God.
Yep.
And she turns into a pillar of salt. She died right there, David. His wife did. Rebellion against God. And it don't end there. He goes up into a mountain, crawls into a cave, and you read it for yourself what he did.
Yeah.
Still, I read in Scripture, Peter. You don't read of Lot doing any great things after that, do you? It don't exist. There's no record of it in the book. And yet when we find Peter, David, all these years later, Lot's called what? A righteous man. You see, faith doesn't define your character. Faith defines God's gift.
Amen.
People say, well, he's a man of faith. No, he's a man of sin. He's a sinful man is what he is. He's been given the gift of faith if he has it from God. You see, if you have faith from God, if God is the source, then bless God, that's the good kind. It'll stand the test. Those who have faith, and any who will ever have it, have faith as a gift given directly by God. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it says, faith cometh by hearing. Right? But how does hearing come?
Yeah.
Now, what many people say, hearing comes through preaching the word. That's not what it says. It said hearing comes from what? The word of God.
Amen.
God is the one that says, he shall have hearing.
Yes, sir.
She shall have hearing. That one shall have hearing. And what happens? Faith comes. Faith comes. When that faith is there, and the truth of God is declared, hearing the gospel, then being mixed with faith, what do? They believe God.
Yes, sir.
They, against hope, believe in hope. They trust in a Christ they've never seen. They've only heard about Him. You know, and our Lord pointed it out to Thomas, didn't He? He said, Thomas, you've believed. That is, you've actually responded in positive belief because you've seen the actual prince, right? You know what He says? He said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. Now see, blessed.
Yes, sir.
In other words, that lets you know that they believe not because of some great thing in them, but what? They've been blessed.
Amen.
That blessing came from God. Any description of faith in all that it is, which cannot be traced back to the free gift of God, with God as the only source from start to finish, is a false description. Faith is not offered. You never find in Scripture faith being offered. And again, I mentioned it last week, faith is not even commanded. Nowhere does any place say, you ought to have faith. Men are told they should believe. Men are rebuked for their unbelief. But nowhere is any man ever commanded to have faith. Why? Because faith's a gift of God. Faith's not offered, faith's not commanded, is something the human creature must do. Faith is the gift which God gives in His own time to everyone whom Christ represented and stood as substitute in His resurrection and ascension, according to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 8. If God loved you, Christ died for you.
Amen.
And if He died for you, He was buried for you. That's in your place, in your stead. And if He was buried for you, He was raised for you. That's in your place. And if He's raised for you, He ascended and sat down in your place. For you, at the right hand of God the Father, He shall give you faith. If you have faith today, it's because Jesus Christ did that for you 2,000 years ago. He had you on His heart and mind. Just like that high priest did. He had those 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved in stone, carried on that breastplate when he went in to offer that one sacrifice, spread that blood.
Yes, sir.
And he had them names right there on his heart. And I don't know how to explain it. It is unexplainable because we are such finite creatures. But Mason, I am persuaded he was thinking of each and every one of us when he suffered on that tree. He says, I know my sheep. I call them by name.
Amen.
I call them individually. That's what he's saying. He individually loved each and every one of us to the extent that he was willing to suffer what he did for us. That's why Paul says the love of Christ constrains us. You see, when you see that, if you ever really see that, you can't help but believe. You can't help but be constrained by that.
Yes, sir.
Now, it may would be a little more pleasing to the human senses if we thought He did that for us because we were some great person, some admirable person. But we were His enemies.
Yes, sir.
It's not just we were ambivalent toward Him. We didn't want Him. There was a time when by nature, that's all we were. There was a time when by nature, all we were was totally opposed to that. He knew what we would be before we were ever born, and yet He did that for us. You think of it. Recall. Don't do it too long because be miserable the rest of the day. But you think of those one or two most despicable things that you've committed that are an affront to God. Those things that are despicable in God's sight, that shame you. You don't even want it mentioned ever again. You hope it never comes up. He suffered in your place for that sin. He was punished for that sin for you and for me. You think he's not going to give me faith? Sustain my faith? Finish my faith? Of course he will, won't he? Of course he will. He that offered up his own son, delivered up his son for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Amen.
If I need faith, and I do, because without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder, and then to them that diligently seek him. If I need faith, and I do, he'll give it to me.
Amen.
If that faith needs to be sustained and finished to the end, and it does, he'll do it. Because he's the source.
Yes, sir.
Think of it. Look at all those examples. I'm not going into them right now. But look at all those examples. But it's amazing. Verse 13. These all died in faith.
Amen.
Now it doesn't even say with faith. Though they did. I mean, certainly that's an evident point. But these all died in faith.
Amen.
You see, they died in the realm of this gift God had given them.
Yes.
Because you see, in these people, snapshots of certain times in their life when faith is clearly manifest, right?
Yes, sir.
But you notice they some snapshots were not given here.
Exactly.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear.
Yeah.
He believed God, didn't he? God said, I'm going to drown this whole world.
Yeah.
Except for the animals I've told you and your family. And you got to build a boat. Because Mason, he wasn't going to survive without that boat. And he moved to fear. And he built that boat. God spared him and his family. What did he do as soon as he got off that boat?
Yeah.
Planted him a vineyard. Sat back and waited for to produce the fruits on the vine. Took them at least probably 21 days to let that ferment real good. It takes about a minimum of 21 days. And then 21 days later, here he is laying drunk in his tent.
Yes, sir.
And go read what happened.
Yeah.
But ain't you glad when God gives you the snapshot picture of who he is, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear.
Yes, sir.
That's all that matters when God's concerned.
Yes.
You see? He didn't say, but now poor old Noah did this. Did he? Another thing, by faith, this one gets me. She gets a hard way to go no matter what. Noah don't get his mention, but think of this gal named Rahab. Here it is, hundreds of years later. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab perished not. Is that what it says? Well, it's not all it says, is it? By faith, the harlot Rahab.
Yep.
You see, if God's pleased not to mention the sin of one of his people, he'll not mention it. If he's pleased to continually just stamp it right on top of them, that's what he'll do, right?
Yep.
And if he's pleased to continually put the stamp on your life, bow under it.
Yes, sir.
He gave you faith. He loves you. He's protecting you. He's with you, even if he does call you a harlot. Right?
Yes, sir.
You're his harlot. He bought you with a price. Huh? He loves you. He gave you faith. Father, I pray that you comfort us with these truths. Encourage us. And having true faith, being given that gift, we truly look to Christ. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.